Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Today, Bridget Griffin shared a video of her daily yoga routine, two self-help articles, and her new blog called Build Your Inner Bridge with Bridge. Girl, your sharing has turned into oversharing. No worries, Bridge. Geico has some info worth sharing with your 7 blog followers, like how you could save money on your car insurance, update your policy, and report a claim just by visiting geico.com. How's that for building your inner bridge? Bridge, Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Author's Corner. I'm the host of the show, Neil Haley. You can check out my website at Tolter.net for more information. Twitter, Tolter, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, Total Tutor, Pinterest, Neil Haley, Google Plus, and also on Periscope at Total Tutor. And I'm excited to welcome the program author Rob Roselli, boxofsunglasses.com at Rob Roselli. Rob, thanks for calling. And I always say it every week, it gets crazier and crazier. And it just continues to, doesn't it, Rob?
Yeah, Neil, I mean, this whole thing is just, it's just getting outright bizarre, what's happening in the world, and it's just door-to-door, minute-to-minute coverage of the presidential election or selection that some people would call it, like myself. It's just endless. There's so much going on in the world right now between North Korea, China, the Ukraine, the Saudis. Those maniacs, the Saudis, Obama's buddies, the ones he bowed to, the ones where they chop people's hands off and women have no rights and homosexuals are stoned or thrown off rooftops. I mean, the great Saudi Arabians now drone bowed to, them and the Turks are getting ready to start World War III over Syria.
Right, exactly,
We have a little business in and just cratering economic numbers worldwide. The United States dollar on its deathbed, the fiat Federal Reserve note, that the scam Federal Reserve system that we've talked about endlessly on this show is really on its deathbed. You don't hear that. Fox News, which I like to call it the fixed news, nonsense. That's all you get is Trump bashing. 24-hour Trump bashing, maybe once in a while, they'll sneak another story in there just to try and keep things honest, or they'll hear a story about the Oscars or some nonsense. But the whole thing is just, humanity's just losing it, I guess is what I'm getting at. And meanwhile, we're fed a steady diet of really stupidity associated with this so-called presidential election. As if it matters who runs the, or who we think runs the country in the Oval Office. These guys are nothing but a collection of bozos and various losers. And that's just the long and the short of it.
Well, it's more, I mean, we could talk about that all the time, but again, Rob, one of the things that you and I talked off air that is a very, 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 surprising thing is the comparison of Donald Trump to Hitler. And that's one thing that you wanted to cover today for sure. And it's a big surprise to you, isn't it, that they're comparing him to Hitler?
Well, actually, to be honest with you, it's not. When you have nothing of intellectual value to say or to contest your opponents or somebody to disagree with, it seems like the American press and the so-called American liberal, love to pull out the labels. It just seems that, the label of choice as of late is to call Trump Hitler, which by implication, of course, means anybody that supports Trump must be a Nazi or part of the SS and ready to march people off to concentration camps. Really is what the American so-called liberal press, those stooges, those idiots, the New York slimes and any of the New York papers with their stupidity, calling people Nazis, as if it's going out of style. For example, I was in the supermarket yesterday, and then there's the New York Daily News, which is doing its best to overtake the slimes as a toilet paper of record. The New York Daily News, front headline, front page, Trump is Hitler. I mean, you want to talk about a bunch of garbage, a bunch of ignorant, stupid, nonsense and garbage. I mean, there it is for you in black and white in the New York Daily News. It's almost as, well, ridiculous. I mean, it's this idiot, this Bernie Sanders, this doofus who we talked about, you know, claiming that, you know, white people don't know what it's like to be poor. I guess you'd never been to Appalachia and this sort of thing, you know, some well-to-do New England socialist, some white guy telling other white people they don't know what it's like to be poor. I mean, you talk about pandering to a segment of the population, you know, and we've gone through this, and, you know, talking and discussing the Great Society
right.
the last couple of weeks. I don't know, off on a tangent right now, but the reason blacks and other minorities are so poor in this country is because, you know, white liberals, like the idiot, useful idiot Bernie Sanders, have been busy helping them for the past 50 years with this thing called the Great Society that's made them nothing but utterly dependent on the government teat, like little calves and little piglets, you know, dependent on the government teat of white liberal compassion. But the stupid college kids, you know, the Ivy Leagues and all that, they think he's great, and you know, that's his base. We talked about a little bit last week, you know, the philosophy and the gender studies majors and any other kids, you know, that just figured out they dropped $200,000 on a college degree and, you know, in theater or gender studies, and then wonder why they can't get a decent job when they graduate. And, you know, the compassionate government that, you know, that Bernie Sanders is so into is going to come and, you know, SWAT team them. And when they can't repay their student loans, it's starting to happen all over the country. You know, these kids, you know, you're told to get these college degrees. You need college to get ahead. They're sitting on six-figure debt. And, you know, now the federal government, you know, the compassion of the federal government, you know, a lot of these former students, these former liberals are finding out what true mandatory government compassion really is. So the point is just the stupidity of this whole presidential election process. It's just, it's galling. It's galling. But anyway, to get to your question, the Trump is Hitler comparisons are, I don't want to say the word funny, to me, it's not really, you know, it's really not funny at all. And I cover this at length in my book, The Un-American Genocidal Complex, which is available on my site, boxupsunglasses.com. That's one word.
Okay.
And I would ask, you know, and the book is available to people listening. And just for the record, today is the first full Monday, or the first Monday in March, or the
right,
leap
right.
year, of course, and when they bought Sheriff. Anyway, the links I send out, a link on our website, it goes to the publisher, and if you could, please purchase the book through the publisher and not through Amazon. And Amazon, they're basically highway robbers, taking, you know, I think I heard it's 70% of the book cost for themselves. And Amazon, a bunch of, you know, I don't want to get into them right now, but
definitely.
If you would do that favor, you know, if you're listening and you want to get the book, because we're going to spend a lot of time, the majority of tonight, talking about it. And it's an easy read. It's a Cliff Notes stripped down version of a lot of very long books, a lot of very good books that go into great detail on the connections between the American liberal at the time, progressive university, you know, social Darwinist types that really mimic today's useful idiots in the universities, you know, the Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton types, or the idiots of the Daily News that call Trump Hitler, that really don't know what the hell they're talking about. And if they did, well, they don't. They're just stupid. I don't know what else to say at this
right,
point.
Right, right,
to make comments with that, because again, what they're really doing, you know, Hitler didn't rise to power in a vacuum, and obviously he wasn't one guy. He had a whole movement behind him. And that's really, you know, as far as Trump, the man goes, I am not 100% sold on the man. I mean, prior to the presidential election, I have to say he was kind of a social liberal on a lot of things. I mean, obviously, he's a fiscal conservative. There's no doubt about that. And I'm not, you know, begrudging the man or even criticizing him. I think as opposed to, you know, some of these other attacks on him, you know, Trump, you know, with his bankruptcies and and all this sort of thing. I compliment the man. I mean, for what he's been able to accomplish, from what he's turned to, you know, apparently he had a very small loan, a relatively small loan from his father, who himself was a success, and turned that into his empire. As far as his prior stances on things, I'm not so sure about it. And people can change. I mean, let's face it. I mean, Trump says he's a Christian. He has said that recently. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt on that. I mean, many of them, your more famous Christians of history in the Old Testament were converts. I mean, the Apostle Paul, for example, was the worst of the worst among the Jewish Pharisees. Okay, the group that Jesus chased out of the temple with whips, and, you know, there's the Apostle Paul, and he was actually one of their muscle men. And he turned out he had a conversion, albeit forced in a way, not to get into that right now, but the point is he ended up writing the bulk of the New Testament. Of course, there's Nebuchadnezzar in the Old Testament, and had a conversion, you know, the king of Babylon, the people of Nineveh. Okay, Nineveh,
right.
You know, the Assyrian Empire was one of the worst empires in world history. I mean, they're right up there with many of the worst, you know, Alexander the Great and some of the others, Genghis Khan and some of the other of the more barbaric empires of world history. And they had a conversion for a time. And that's the point of the whole book of Jonah. So the point is, as a Christian, you know, I'm not one to sit here and throw stones and say, you know, Trump could never be a converter. What he's saying isn't true. And in fact, I pray for him to be a real Christian, and that he is becoming or in the process of becoming, because, as we'll discuss tonight, the forces opposing him are really biblical in nature. And we got into that last week. I know I tried to cover a lot, I mean, last week's show, and talking about the word great and the great society. And the point being that there are huge forces that go back, Luciferian forces, the Illuminati. We trace that back to the open eye of, you know, the eye shall be open, all the way back to the book of Genesis. We don't have time to repeat that right now, but suffice it to say that these forces have been with us all throughout history. Through the Old Testament, now, that was the forces of, you know, the gods of Egypt. If you want to talk about what we're really dealing with here, and the connections between the Freemasons and groups like that, and the Rosicrucians are the carry forward from the very powerful forces behind, you know, Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And this was the whole point of the 10 plagues. And again, I don't want to get into that right now, which again, suffice it to say that the 10 plagues, and many people don't realize this, they don't look into it too deeply, were really aimed at these gods of ancient Egypt. Okay, but, you know, as we discussed on the back of our Federal Reserve note, these people still mimic, want to recreate and think they are worshiping. And they are worshiping the same gods of ancient Egypt, you know, the all-seeing eye and the unfinished pyramid and this sort of thing.
Right.
On the back of your Federal Reserve note, all these people were heavily into the occult. This is what Trump is really facing. That kind of segues into our discussion of the Nazis. Okay, we might as well start with that. I mean, if you look at the, and then we'll get into the more political and whatever, you know, then we'll discuss, you know, the Nazis really were liberals, okay? They're an American liberal dream. They're perfect. But we'll get into that a little bit. But as far as the occult religious side of this thing, I mean, the Nazis, just like the Islamists, okay, with their worship of the old Babylonian moon god called Sin and the symbolism and all this sort of thing, the Islamist religion, the Islamic religion, the Nazis are another slice of the pie, so to speak. Which, by the way, is a reason I can't stand these so-called experts that want to focus on, you know, God's chosen people, Israel, and this sort of thing. It's why they just, their interpretations of scripture are just way off. it is way off, okay? And then we'll hit that seam against that. I've been saying that. I've been trying to convey that point, is that, you know, stop listening to these people. They don't know what the hell they're talking about. Their theology is awful, okay? And I'm talking about these guys that are, you know, with the Islamic Antichrist or the Antichrist in general. It's just really, really poor theology. And if you listen to these people, you know, you're going to be sitting around waiting for some, you know, some guy with horns to show up in an Israeli temple and in Jerusalem. It's just nonsense, okay? Because the evil that we're going to discuss and are discussing right now is the true evil. It's the true evil of the Bible. This is real biblical evil, okay? And we've talked about these different factions, but tonight we're going to focus on the Nazis just to illustrate once again the point, okay? Now, just if you look at the swastika, okay, for example, and what is the swastika? It's nothing but a symbol, a representative of the, you know, the Buddhist or Eastern religion sun god. Okay, so for example, if you get Helena Blavatsky,
right,
okay, her books and her writings, and she, you know, I have this on my website. One of the symbols of theosophy is the swastika, and you look at that and say, was she a Nazi? No, she lived in the 1800s. I mean, the so-called mother of the New Age emulated the things, you know, the so-called, you know, Eastern religions, Hinduism and Buddhism and all this kind of nonsense, as did the Nazis, okay, because they were very much into the occult, okay? They were not Christians. They were not Christian fundamentalists, and whatever stupid comparisons, you know, the press, the American press, and the useful idiots are relying on, you know, the ignorance of the public school educated American student these days, you know, the Bernie Sanders types, and that don't know anything because, you know, they've been brainwashed in these public schools. Hitler was an avowed New Age, what we call a New Age religion, an avowed occultist, and in fact, okay, just speaking on that end, okay, he really was in search of something called the Holy Grail, okay. And if you go back and you do the research, I mean, this kind of gets into the American side of the equation. He was in fact, the Nazis were in fact in some kind of weird, Indiana Jones. Okay, Raiders of the Lost Ark, pursuit of occultic materials. Okay, so if you remember the Raiders of the Lost Ark, and the Nazis were pursuing occult related material like, you know, the Ark of the Covenant and this sort of thing, that the Nazis really were. I mean, Hitler really was obsessed with recreating what he called the Great White Brotherhood or the Aryan race, or this race of highly evolved Northern European white people, okay? This was Hitler's thing, okay? There's no debating that. This is what he believed in, okay? And so he was a weird combination of right. occultism, of New Age occultism, okay, and evolution and Darwinism, okay? Well, let's just stick with the occultism side of the equation for now, and we'll get to the Darwinist half of the equation, you know, that the godless Darwinist, you know, an American, we have to say an American tradition at this point, thanks to our useful idiot, you know, godless liberals. But anyway, Hitler was pursuing all over the Far East this, you know, occult-related materials. He was obsessed with something called the Spear of Destiny, okay? You know, supposedly, you know, the spear that, you know, that the Roman soldier used to pierce, you know, the side of Jesus, you know, the blood and water came out in John's gospel and this sort of thing. But the point is, hey, without getting into too much right now, that was Hitler was obsessed with these kinds of things, okay? Because, again, he believed in the past, and this was his version of mythology. Okay, I mean, we touched on this, you know, somewhat last week, and maybe next week, you know, we'll get back into the, you know, mythology, you know, so-called mythology of all the cultures around the world, which really ties all the way back into Genesis 6 and the Nephilim and, you know, the superior race and this sort of thing.
Right.
But anyway, this is what he was trying to he was trying to recreate. I mean, he came to the Norse god Odin and Thor and these sorts of things. I mean, they're just the Northern European equivalents and parallels to the gods of ancient Egypt. Okay, if you go back and Osiris, which we've discussed, and his wife, Osiris was a male partner of the Rosicrucians and the Rose plus the Cross and this sort of thing. Okay, as far as the German or the Northern European version of that was Odin and Thor and the Valkyries and this sort of thing. Okay.
Right.
Had parallels, had their roots in the mythology, so-called, of ancient Egypt. Okay, so that's really, that was Hitler's so-called religion, and it was illustrated again. It's quite historically accurate in Raiders of the Lost Ark. Now it's interesting, just to speak to that for a second. FDR. Okay, the famous, another progressive sellout, by the way, another stooge like Woodrow Wilson, another progressive stooge president, was Franklin Delano Roosevelt, by the way, FDR, and he was another one obsessed with the occult. Okay, just to speak to him for a second, okay, FDR, I mean, who was he working for, in the beginning, around the period of, World War One, who was he working for? But none other than J.P. Morgan.
Right.
J.P. Morgan, created the Federal Reserve. And don't let these guys fool you. Okay, I think we discussed this a little bit last week in Bohemian Grove and this sort of thing. I mean, every year, to this day in the 21st century, our so-called leaders, our elites, these effing weirdos, okay, we know what a word for, get together every year and get out in California and worship, a 40-foot owl named Moloch, okay, out there in Bohemian Grove. Which is really the Baal of the Old Testament, which again ties into the all-seeing eye of the Federal Reserve Note, ties into Odin, okay, Hitler worship. So hopefully, I know I'm saying a lot.
Let me jump in this. So you're saying that Hitler, his worshiping, had a lot to do with some of the prophecy you're talking about. It sounds like to me. You talk about specific.
Well,
yeah.
No, go on.
No, okay, it sounds like you talk a lot about Osiris and talk about the temples and talk about specific things that Hitler's belief system that really have to do with a lot where we are today, and that's why Donald Trump is not Hitler, because Donald Trump is not. Is not the end all be all of what the thought process is of this un-American genocidal complex, really. So definitely Hitler's more in that boat than Trump, if I'm correct in what you're explaining.
Well, what I'm trying, the picture I'm trying to paint here, I'm trying to paint a lot of pictures, and again, people, and I'll say this again, let me just stop right there. It sounds like I'm losing you a little bit, but everything I say is, again, it's corroborated on my site, boxofsunglasses.com, and if you get the book, it's full of, there's notes, this is a full a bibliography.
I just want to make sure our listeners,
everything I say is corroborated, but to answer your question, there's people out there arguing, Hitler was the Antichrist, this person's the Antichrist, it's all a bunch of crap.
Oh, even Hitler, believe. So that's where I'm cornering, not questioning, is that, so you believe that Hitler just was another ideology, and it's not, he was not the person to end the world per se at that time and period, and that Hitler does not portray a lot of the things that you see that are happening right now. Am I correct? Is that why
what I'm saying, I guess another way to say it, Hitler did was he tapped into the same stream, the same stream of evil.
Yes.
That has been around in world history since the Garden of Eden, and it's carried through to all the so-called ancient cultures. Okay, the Sumerians, the Babylonians, the Egyptians. Okay, let me just stop right there. I mean, if you believe, you know, that the idiot evolutionist, you know, version of world history of, you know, the dinosaurs, you know, mankind, you know, evolution 13 billion years ago, and, you know, the dinosaurs, you know, 65 million years ago, you know, a meteor hit the Earth and, you know, killed all the dinosaurs off, but somehow it didn't kill all the other life forms on Earth, and that's how they get rid of the dinosaurs, and, you know, the mankind, you know, just learned to walk and chew gum, you know, 6,000 years ago, and all of a sudden, boom, out, you know, out come the Sumerians, the Babylonians, and the Egyptians, you know, the Egyptians building, you know, the great pyramid complex, and, you know, with astrological astronomical alignments and this sort of thing, you know, the Egyptians have just learned to walk and chew gum at the same time, built the Great Pyramids. If that's your public school, you know, United States public school version of history, then none of this is going to make any sense. Okay, let me just say that, okay? But getting back to try to answer your question, what I'm saying is that this secret stream, we'll call it, okay, actually quote a title of a book by another occult author, a German, by the way, by the name of Rudolf Steiner.
Okay.
I'm sure very few people have heard of any of the secret stream, but anyway, what I'm saying is that Hitler just was like, well, let's just say, let me make an analogy, he was like a spigot. He was a spigot that just tapped into this secret stream of just evil that has been present in different forms throughout world history. So in other words, the ancient Egyptians tapped into it, the Babylonians, okay, the Babylonian Empire, the Assyrian Empire, okay, all the empires and all the civilizations that surrounded ancient Israel, the Canaanites, the Hittites, okay, the Amorites, all these people, all these, you know, the Romans even, the Greeks, okay, all these empires and all these civilizations of history have tapped into right. The same secret stream, okay, and the stream is, you know, Lucifer and his fake religion is really...
The ones that are the horrible evil people tap into their own type of Satan worship or some sort of worship that is not the one God system, and depends on what type of cult they decide to go. Yeah.
That's pretty much it. I'm just saying, you know, in other words, you know, you're looking at the same. We're talking about the same game here. We're just watching it. You know, picture a football game, okay? You know, you got the God of the Old Testament. You know, is one team, okay, and the Luciferians and Satan is the other team, okay. What I'm saying is that really what we're talking about here is if you put every one of these civilizations of world history in the stands, they're describing this game. From their perspective. I mean, if you get 70,000 fans at a football game, you're going to get 70,000 different takes on, you know, what's going on in the game. And obviously, at the end of the game, you know, you get a winner and a loser, which is what happens at the end of the Book of Revelation. But, you know, while the game is going on, you're going to get, you know, how many different versions, you know, the people in the third tier and, you know, in the section, you know, 300 are going to have a different perspective. The same game that knows that, you know, those at the 50-yard line on the first level. Okay, and that's the best analogy, you know, I can make right now. So what I'm saying is that, you know, maybe the Nazis are in, you know, maybe they're in the mezzanine, whereas, you know, the ancient Egyptians, you know, maybe they're up on the third level somewhere watching the same game, you know, and with their same version. I mean, In other words, the Egyptian god Osiris is the equal to the, you know, the Canaanite god Baal. Okay, you go back to like Deuteronomy 7, for example, and, you know, God says, you know, go into the land of Canaan, you know, modern day Israel or Palestine or whatever you want to call it, and, you know, and kill everybody, you know, tear down their Asherah poles, okay, their May poles, you know, i.e., you know, your modern New Age wackos that, you know, that worship of the May poles every May 1st of every year. Okay, you know, make a little back to, you know, things like Deuteronomy 7. They says, you know, tear down the groves, kill all the people that worship Baal and this sort of thing. Okay, on the surface, if you're reading that, he might get turned off, and you say, "Wow, this God is, you know, this guy's a real creep." I mean, he's going, but this is what I'm getting at. This is what God is trying to get at. This, in the Old Testament, and obviously things were different. Okay, that's I'm not saying that. Now.
Right, right,
I'm not
right.
advocating that by any stretch. Okay, you know, you go back to John chapter 8. You know, casting the first stone and this sort of thing, and you know, telling Peter to put his sword back in his sheath, and you know, not. You know, the kingdoms of the world are not his kingdoms, and this sort of thing. I'm not advocating violence or anything in any sort of way whatsoever. I still want to be misunderstood, but the point is, you know, that's why it's called the Old Testament, and that's why the New Testament is called the New Testament, okay? But the point is that this is really what we're talking about here, this secret stream of history, so-called, that these empires... I have tapped into. Okay, Alexander the Great, you know, the Greek Empire fame, was obsessed with the Old Testament prophets. He was obsessed with, you know, Osiris and the gods of Egypt and this right. sort of thing. Okay, he was the same. He had the same belief or similar beliefs, but in the same exact occultism that Adolf Hitler believed in. Okay, it is my point. Okay, which is why I say, when I say things like, you know, Donald Trump is really what he's taking on here, you know, the 21st century today, you know, March 2016, are these same forces that have been around since the beginning of world history, okay, is what I'm saying. Okay, so the kind of bring this back into focus and bring this back into the conversation
right,
we are
exactly.
having. This is what it boils down to, and I mentioned Helena Blavatsky before. Okay, now Hitler was a huge fan of all of these occult writers. You know, one of them being Helena Blavatsky. Now Helena Blavatsky, she was a miserable wench. Okay, and you know I call her the New Age Madam. Okay, now she's called the so-called mother of the New Age. Okay, she wrote something called The Secret Doctrine. Okay, and you know, again, you know, I have all these books in my collection. Okay, so I'm not just making this stuff up when I say
right.
something. You know, I usually original source it when I'm saying. Okay, so if I tell you on the front cover of her book, it's just old. I got this great old great book, and on the front cover, there's a serpent eating its own tail. Okay, which is called the Ouroboros, okay, which is really the symbolism of that. It goes all the way back to ancient Egypt, okay, and then the concept of the Great Pyramid. And maybe in the next week or two we can focus on the mythology and the geometry associated with the Great Pyramid of Egypt. And I'll say it again, okay, it was not built by, you know, half-caped Neanderthal that just weren't learn to walk and chew gum at the same time. Okay, the Great Pyramids were not built by Egyptian slaves, whatever nonsense, again, you know, the so-called, you know, academic experts and the Egyptologists are telling us. But anyway, this is the point is on the front cover of Blavatsky's book, okay, you know, Blavatsky, who Adolf Hitler adored, by the way. And I'm trying to time this. I'm trying to go, you know, half into the occult and half into the history of Hitler.
Right.
And I see we're almost halfway through the show already. But anyway, on the front cover of the book, okay, there's the Ouroboros, the serpent, okay, eating its own tail in a circle, indicating, you know, infinity or the circle of life or the squaring of the circle, which, again, you just take my word for it, you know, stems from the geometry of the Great Pyramid of Giza of
ancient
Egypt, okay. You know, and what other symbol is on there but the swastika, okay? The symbol of the Eastern religion of Buddha or whoever, or Buddhist/Hindu sun god, okay? But was Blavatsky borrowing from Hitler, or was Hitler borrowing from her?
Well, yes.
Obviously, they had Hitler borrowing from her, but she lived, you know, 50, 60 years before Hitler even came onto the scene. Okay? So, what I'm getting at is that Hitler was no Christian, okay? He had nothing to do with God, okay? What he was into was New Age religion, which has a lot to do with the worship of nature, okay? And Hitler was obsessed with nature worship and with trees and groves, okay, just like the Druids, okay, the Druids, and similar to many of their beliefs, okay, you know, over there in England and Stonehenge and all that, and their belief in nature as a god and Gaia or Mother Earth, which traces back to the female component of the Egyptian religion, you know, Isis, the Hor goddess Isis, or the Roman Diana or the Greek Artemis, okay, and those sorts of things, okay, that's really the religion of Adolf Hitler. And I'll get it back. I mentioned FDR before. Now, he had a Secretary of Agriculture, okay, with a guy by the name of Henry Wallace, okay, and they were obsessed with this Russian occultist by the name of Nicholas Roerich, okay, and here was another guy who was obsessed with the occult, who the American government sent over to, you know, the Far East, China, Mongolia, Tibet, and these sorts of places to compete with the Nazis and whatever it is, whatever holy grail they were looking for. Now, if you remember in Raiders of the Lost Ark, and Indiana Jones goes over there, and, you know, and he meets his, whatever the woman's name was, and, you know, and supposedly I think it was her father was, you know, was over there and searching for occult material. But anyway, I think that movie is attempting to portray Nicholas Roerich, okay, who was a real historical figure. He was hired out by FDR and again, as a cult-minded Henry Wallace to search out occult artifacts over there in the Far East. Okay, and again, I don't want to go down that rabbit trail right now, but the point is that Raiders of the Lost Ark is really, I mean, I know, look, I'm not saying it's all true, but there's a lot of accurate historical parallels in that movie. Okay, now don't forget who put the all-seeing eye of Osiris with the, you know, on top of the unfinished pyramid, you know, the stone the builders rejected, you know, Matthew 21 and Psalm 118. Okay, what is Jesus talking about there? The stone the builders rejected. Well, builders sound a lot like Freemasons.
Yes.
That's exactly correct. It's the modern-day Freemasons, and it's the Masons of ancient Egypt, with the, again, going back to the Great Pyramid of Egypt, okay, with, you know, who put the federal, you know, the pyramid on the back of our Federal Reserve note, but Roerich and FDR, okay, who's basically picking up the ball from his predecessor, the stooge, Woodrow Wilson, who in turn, you know, was working for the aforementioned J.P. Morgan, just like FDR, and the bankers, the same bohemian world of occultists that gave us the Federal Reserve System, okay, the same group also gave us Adolf Hitler, okay? You know, if you go back into the history, I mean, you know, the backbone of Hitler's industrial/military might, you know, what came from General Motors, General Electric, most notably Standard Oil, IG Farben. Okay, this is basic historical history, by the way. I mean, you don't hear about it a lot. You don't hear about a lot of things. Obviously, if you're listening to the show, you're finding out you don't hear about a lot of things.
No, you're not. You really uncover stuff that we wouldn't think about. Yeah.
But anyway, Hitler's military industrial base to fight World War II was courtesy of the United States. Okay, the same occult-minded groups, okay, basically loaned him the money, gave from their the American industrial technology, and IBM, okay, was responsible for providing Hitler the, you know, punch cards and, you know, early forms of computer systems and computers, so he could do all his eugenic/evolution experiments on Jews and invalids and other groups that Hitler deemed inferior.
Right. Correct.
So with that background, let's jump over to the quote secular side of this whole equation. Okay, and what was Hitler's big philosophy, okay, the way he carried over a lot of his aforementioned occult beliefs, which was to really recreate a great white brotherhood or just a light Aryan race of the world of just Germans or Nordic sourced people and get rid of everybody else. You know, where did he get that idea from? Okay, he didn't grow up in a vacuum. He got his ideas from Darwin's theory of evolution. Okay. He was an avowed Darwinist. Okay. And that was his religion. Okay. Besides the occultism, he tied it in, and he justified the Holocaust with Darwinism. Okay. And if you read the history again, this is basic history. And, you know, you had the American Eugenics Society, the British Eugenics Society. Okay. You know, the Kaiser Wilhelm, all kinds of Kaiser Wilhelm universities in Germany. Brain research, genetic research, anthropology research, okay, all this stuff was based on Darwinism, okay, and a belief that in the past that there was this great white brotherhood of white people, okay, who evolved, who were an evolved race who were being held down by the so-called inferior races. Now, who were the inferior races in Hitler's eyes? Obviously the Jews, okay, but also blacks, sub-Saharan Africans and blacks. And if you go back and you read Darwin, this is exactly what Darwin was saying, okay? You know, blacks were considered savages, okay? You know, the gaps between whites and blacks was greater than that of the savage, of what Darwin called the savage, and the apes, okay? I'm just paraphrasing and quoting Charles Darwin. Okay, so I'm not, you know, so you want to talk about institutional racism, so let's just talk about that for a second, and these idiots.
Right,
okay?
Right. Yeah,
That call, you know, with this thing called institutional racism, I think it's called now, that want to call, you know, white conservative Christians or whatever the catchphrase is, you want to call us a bunch of racists and all those other things. You know, this is a term I've heard, you know, by people like, you know, Al Sharpton and the whores, the other media whores, you know, these black media whores, the Jesse Jacksons, the NAACP, these other recycled idiots they put on MSNBC, and you talk about institutional racism. You want to talk institutional racism, okay? These people need to go back and read their history of the 1800s, early 1900s American Eugenics Society. Okay, and it's love fest. I mean, a literal love fest they had going on with Adolf Hitler and his underlings. Okay, people like Ernst Rudin, okay, and Joseph Mengele, Berscher, a guy named von Berscher, okay, and all these other people. Okay, you had literal. I mean, people were physically going back and forth, you know, to Hitler's Germany and vice versa, and you know, and writing for, you know, for magazines like Birth Control Review. Okay, which, you know, brought to us by, you know, Margaret Sanger, okay, the founder of Planned Parenthood. Okay, and we'll get into that in a second if we have a couple minutes left over. But this is where Hitler got his inspiration and his ideas, and in fact, his justification to do what he was doing was he was saying, well, wait a second, I'm white, I'm superior, and I'm just acting out, you know, as evolution tells me I need to act. I have the right, you know, this term called social Darwinism. I have the right to kill these people off because they're weak and they don't deserve to live. And I'm just doing the job that nature calls me to do. Okay. That was Hitler's basic approach. And he got it directly from the American Eugenic Society and like-minded people of American so-called intellectual elites, okay, the same group that worship, and to this day, by the way, that worship Charles Darwin. Okay, so to sit here and say, right. You know, okay, I guess what I'm getting at, just think about what I'm saying. To sit here and call Trump a Nazi, okay, meanwhile, I mean, American liberals, these idiots, okay, these useful idiots, okay, because they're all marionettes being controlled by the, you know, the J.P. Morgan Rockefeller crowd. But just to take it down a level, like the New York Daily News, to say, you know, Trump is Hitler or Trump is a Nazi or whatever it is they're saying on their headlines, like, you idiots, okay? You force people at gunpoint or under the threat of IRS wage garnishment into your so-called free public school. And when the kids get there, you stuff Darwinism down their throats and you say God doesn't exist. And at the same time, you turn around and you say Trump is Hitler. Meanwhile, you're jamming Darwinism down, you know, the public, you know, public school, jamming it down our throats at gunpoint, you know, to learn this crap. And then if we question it, then we're called, you know, non-scientific. I mean, it's just, there's almost no words to describe the stupidity, okay, the ignorance of what people are really saying, okay, because Hitler was a Darwinist. I mean, that was his thing. Okay, that was the whole point of the Holocaust. I mean, he was getting rid of people. In his case, the Jews, because there weren't a lot of blacks in Germany. But believe you me, if Hitler had had a large black population, he would have been marching them into the ovens just like with the Jews.
Exactly. Okay?
That's just in fact. I mean, you know, people think that's outlandish. No, it's not. Because look at, you know, in America, we did have blacks. You had Margaret Sanger running around. Margaret Sanger, who spoke in front of the Ku Klux Klan. Okay, Hillary Clinton wins the Margaret Sanger Award. Okay, that's another thing. You know, after Trump, for this David Duke endorsement, whether he got it or not, look at this stupid press, okay, you know, all over Trump for this David Duke endorsement. And meanwhile, you got Hillary Clinton collecting the Margaret Sanger Award. Okay, Margaret Sanger, who corresponded with Hitler and his underlings, okay, who invented something called the Negro Project, okay, you know, the purpose of, you know, the American Birth Control League, which we know today is Planned Parenthood, okay, its stated purpose was to get rid of the Negro population. Now, I got some tweets, you know, some ignoramuses out there saying, oh, you know, Margaret Sanger never advocated eugenics, and Margaret Sanger this and that. I mean, I don't know what the hell they're reading or what planet they're from, but Margaret Sanger, not only did she believe in eugenics, I mean, in her own words, she said in her mind, eugenics didn't make any sense, because she said, you know, why even let these morons, misfits, imbeciles, and Negroes, and I'm quoting, okay, these are words that she used, not mine. You know, her point was, why even let these people be born? Why even the need for eugenics when we can just kill these people in the womb? Okay? That's Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood. And Hillary Clinton, again, wins the Margaret Sanger Award. And that bitch on wheels has the audacity to go out and call other people racist and, you know, get in front of these Black Lives Matters, these idiots, these Black Lives Matters, and these white liberal college kids, these dummies, you know, getting out there and defending these thugs running around the streets, okay, that have, you know, these multiple felon thugs, okay, you know, they get out there and defend these people, and meanwhile, you know, have people like Hillary Clinton who really believe that blacks are an inferior race. They really believe this stuff. I mean, you know, she may not say, of course she's not going to come out and say, but just look at her actions, okay? Look at what she does. Look at who she really hangs around with. Okay, when it's time, you know, to win the presidency or, you know, get elected, you know, then, of course, you know, the cameras are out, then she's, you know, then she's hugging black people and all this sort of thing. But when that's all off, you know, where is she? She's hanging out on Wall Street. She's collecting $100,000 in speaking fees. You know, she's hanging out with Goldman Sachs. She's living up there in northern Westchester County, one of the richest neighborhoods in America. She wants nothing to do with black people. She doesn't care. She's a godless whore in the Old Testament sense. Okay, her heart is hardened just like Pharaoh. But the point I'm making is, if you look at the press, they will not touch Queen Hillary. You won't hear one iota of what I'm saying, and, you know, on Fox News or any of the other so-called, you know, American investigative press. But you know this David Duke, this recycled loser,
right.
From Louisiana, whatever. You know, he endorses Trump, supposedly endorses Trump, and it's front page news. Day after day, it's just like a drum. It's a beating drum. It just beat into the American population. Trump is racist. Trump got endorsed by David Duke. Trump doesn't. David Duke. David Duke's an idiot.
Right.
David Duke's a loser. Okay, compared to what Hillary Clinton believes in, and if you go back into the history,
do you think Hillary's going to go to jail?
You talked about.
Do you think Hillary's going to be indicted?
I doubt it. I doubt it. Look, the only way it's going to happen is if it gets so egregious. It's already at the point, but it just gets so egregious where it's just, even Obama's, you know, so-called Department of Justice can't ignore it. You know, obviously they're doing their best to ignore it and sweep it under the rug. I mean, right now it's like they're trying to sweep a whole dumpster full of garbage underneath the rug, but they're still trying. I'm going to say no. You know, they'll come up with some nonsense, and you know, really the only way I think it will happen is if, you know, you get a couple hundred FBI agents that threaten to walk off the job or something, or some kind of unison or something like that, or just refuse to work if she's not indicted or something, something really vivid or outlandish happens. That's the only way that's going to happen. But other than that, no, she's the next president because they don't want Trump. These Republicans, these sellouts, this Mitt Romney, this schmuck, this loser Mitt Romney getting up there, okay, you know, who played the role of Puck perfectly and laid down for, you know, for Barack Obama.
Right. He had him on the ropes, didn't he, Rob? He had him on the ropes in that debate.
Don't even get me started on Mitt Romney and then Fox News. I don't want to waste the rest of this show on a few minutes we have left on the topic I'm trying to get out. I'm not losing.
You know that Rose, that Quinn and Rose show that got out. Rose has her own show in Pittsburgh, and she says she doesn't even watch Fox anymore. She watches CNN for coverage compared to Fox. She doesn't trust Fox at all anymore.
I can't. I know Fox is terrible. Yeah, I mean, look, as far as the media, and again, the media is controlled by the same groups,
yes,
the same part of the cult conspiracy. You know, it's all Fox. Fox's job is to be the controlled opposition. Okay, so in other words, just like the elections every 4 years, you know, it's Bush versus Clinton, it's Kerry versus Bush. You know, the morons in Congress. Okay, you know, you people say, you know, 4 years you get the Republicans, you know, the people get pissed off, nothing changes, you know. Wow, shock. You know, wow, you know, I mean, the debt didn't go down. Well, that's a shock, considering it's a debt-based system and it's fueled by going into debt.
Yeah.
Okay. regardless of what douchebags, like, you know, Paul Krugman over the New York Times, have to say, another complete douchebag, okay, Paul Krugman, you know, the Keynesian, you know, maniac, you know, you have to go into debt to get out of debt, but... But anyway, you know, it's surprising, you know, people come out and say, wait a second, you know, that's still one of, you know, oh, let's vote the Republicans, and, you know, 4 years later, or, you know, whatever, 6 years later for a senator, whatever, oh, you know, let's get the Democrats, and they'll fix, and then nothing ever gets fixed, okay? It's a perpetual nonsense, okay? And people are shocked by this. But anyway, the way the quote conspiracy works is you have Democrats, so-called liberals, and you have so-called conservatives like Fox News and Newt Gingrich and Bill Kristol and these other snooty, you know, neocon conservatives on Fox News, okay, whose job it is to act Mitt Romney, okay, to act like conservatives, you know, and make people think that they really have a choice in where they get the information and, you know, think they have an alternative to the so-called liberal CNN. But they're playing for the same team, okay? And if you can't see that now, you're never going to see it. And, you know, and Exhibit A is Donald Trump, okay? And you get a true conservative, a man who truly wants to make America great again. And look who's leading the charge to bash him into submission for Fox News with this Megyn Kelly and this O'Reilly and putting on Mitt Romney and all these other people. It's just, and all these, what is it, I feel like 10 or 20 debates now, and most of them are sponsored by Fox. They put Trump in the middle, and then they bash the hell out of him, okay? Because Fox News, just like the rest of the government media complex, does not want a true American, a true conservative.
Right.
They want a bootlicker. They want a flacky. They want a loser. They want a Mitt Romney in there. They want somebody just to
roll over. What about Ted Cruz?
People like Hillary, Barack Obama. Ted Cruz is another idiot, okay? Another dime store evangelist waving his Bible around. Another con man, okay? But anyway, you know. But, you know, hopefully I've made my point, but let me just say this, okay? In the last couple of minutes, just getting back to the whole, you know, Trump is Hitler, you know, thing. Just look at Nazi Germany, okay? Look at the word Nazi, okay? What does Nazi mean? It really means national socialist, okay?
Okay.
Think about social. What is socialist? Socialist is just the equivalent of liberal, okay? It's a compassionate gunpoint, okay? How could you sit here and say Trump is a Nazi? And meanwhile, the very meaning of the word is antithetical to what Trump is. Now, agree or disagree with Trump and, you know, and his mega capitalism, okay? The man is a capitalist. You know, in parentheses, you know, should he can give more of his money away to charity, you know, as per the parable in Matthew 19, yeah, you know, the rich man, and, you know, going through the eye of, you know, and the camel going to the eye of the needle and that whole parable. But anyway, that aside, the man is a capitalist, okay? He's antithetical to socialism or Nazi and National Socialism. So that right there, that abject stupidity and ignorance. But, you know, you say something enough, and ironically, I think it was Hitler or his minister of propaganda, Goebbels, I mean, who said, basically, you repeat something often enough, and pretty soon it becomes the truth. And I'm paraphrasing. And, you know, Hitler's other big thing, by the way, was control the education system. And remember, you know, we have, quote, free education in this country. You know, pay your real estate taxes, right, and, you know, pay for our school. You don't pay your real estate taxes. The sheriff comes and takes your house. Or don't pay your taxes, you know, to the National Education Association, and then the IRS garnishes your bank account, okay, or your wages, okay. So you're forced, and then what do people do? They end up sending their kids to the so-called free public schools, these cesspools of Darwinism, like they talked about. Okay, that was a big one with Hitler too, was educating the children. Hitler said, you know, we're going to be one generation of children, and I'll turn out good little Nazis. And again, I'm paraphrasing, but that was, you know, again, that's an American liberal cause, control the education system. Okay, so you have National Socialism, government control of industry, okay, which is, you know, which is akin to fascism. And I don't get into labels, you know, corporatism, fascism, socialism, they're all variations of the same thing, okay, government slash corporate control of industry, okay, which is basically what we have in the United States. Don't kid yourself, okay. That's why we get all these so-called free trade agreements and all this other nonsense. But let's just stick to the point, okay? So again, you know, Trump is independently wealthy. Okay, Trump made his money on his own. You know, love him or hate him, okay? To sit here and say he was dependent on this Nazi-like complex, this corporatism of the American, corporate slash fascist government state that we have right now, like government motors and in the banks, the Federal Reserve, and this sort of thing. Okay, that's not Trump. Okay, again, the education system. Okay, the eugenics, the abortion. Okay, all these other things. Okay, the worship of nature. Okay, all these other things. I mean, Hitler was the quintessential American liberal, okay?
Right.
But there's an interesting quote. Should be up to the last minute here. There's a quote, and I can't remember the gentleman's name. I think he's an American eugenics congressman. To the great leader, Adolf Hitler, okay? And as a matter of fact, I made it a chapter in my book, The Un-American Genocidal Complex. But basically what he was speaking for all the American elites, the American eugenicists, the American Darwinist, okay, you know, the same crowd that put a black aborigine in the Bronx Zoo as proof of evolution, okay, I bet people have never heard that one before.
No.
This is how racist the Darwinists really are, and again, where Hitler got all his ideas, but anyway, the forerunners, the predecessors of today's America, you know, Ivy League, white, liberal, elite, and the black affirmative action losers that, you know, follow around like puppy dogs, they loved Adolf Hitler, and they basically admitted in no uncertain terms that all Adolf Hitler was doing was taking all their theories and everything they talked about and putting it into practice.
Right.
Okay, and that's the upshot, I guess, of what I'm trying to say.
Exactly. All right.
You know, again, Hitler took the American, and he put it into practice, and the Americans did too, you know, with abortion and that sort of thing, you know, which we already discussed to an extent, but not to the extent that Adolf Hitler. But anyway, I mean, I see we got to cut it short.
Yeah, absolutely. But boxofsunglasses.com, at Rob Bruselli, to interact with you, ask questions, tons of questions if you've read the book, tons of questions if you are considering buying the book, what's happening today, boxofsunglasses.com and Rob Bruselli. Rob, thanks for calling, man, and next week, another exciting show, okay? I have no idea what will happen this week that'll surprise us for next week, okay?
Sounds good, yeah.
All right, take care, Rob. All right, that was Rob Bruselli. Take care, everybody.
Bye.
Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Today, Bridget Griffin shared a video of her daily yoga routine, two self-help articles, and her new blog called Build Your Inner Bridge with Bridge. Girl, your sharing has turned into oversharing. No worries, Bridge. Geico has some info worth sharing with your 7 blog followers, like how you could save money on your car insurance, update your policy, and report a claim just by visiting geico.com. How's that for building your inner bridge? Bridge, Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.